Today we're dealing with many situations, the virus pandemic, this senseless killing, and all kinds of other big problems of evil and wickedness and hatred. Corrupt people are trying to stir up strife and prejudice and racism and division. Where do we go for answers? Where do we turn for help? We turn to God. Get our eyes off of the wickedness and everything that's going on. Let us look to the loving, caring Heavenly Father. You know, today is known as Pentecost Sunday. It reminds us of what happened on Pentecost. Now, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit came at this time because it's called, and the reason it's called Pentecost, because it was the Feast of Pentecost, which is one of the Jewish feasts that's 50 days after the first day of Passover. It's also a harvest festival, and it's called the Feast of Harvest also. The day of Pentecost is considered the beginning of the church. It's the day in which 120 people in an upper room in Jerusalem saw the power of the Holy Spirit come. A few years back, we were in Jerusalem and we went into that room and we started to pray, and I sat down there and began to pray. I was praying in the Spirit. The Spirit of prayer come on me. I was praying in the Spirit. My wife come over and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "The guide is telling us we have to get out of here. We're not supposed to be doing this in here." I said, "I don't care. this is where Pentecost started. I'm praying." But I did honor them. You know, throughout history, there have been many significant events that have impacted the spiritual events that have impacted the world. The flood, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on Calvary, his resurrection from the dead. And the most astonishing after Calvary is the day of Pentecost. It changed everything. It changed the way we related to God. It offered hope to the hopeless. It gave proof of the supernatural power of God. It changed the way believers would live their lives forever. Today, Pentecost is no less important than when it first happened, and we read about it in the book of Acts. So let us look at several ways in which Pentecost is relevant today. First of all, you need to realize Pentecost shows that God keeps his promises. If you've ever wondered what God can do in your life and if he'll keep his word, go read Acts 1 and 2. God did exactly what he said. In Acts 1, 4 and 5, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized you in water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And 10 days after Jesus' ascension there, remember the first chapter of Acts, that's where Jesus ascended. On that day, the Holy Spirit came with a mighty rushing wind, with flames of fire, and people began to speak in other tongues. It had to be quite a scene because the people began to gather around and want to know what's going on. And because of the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Harvest, there were many people there from many different countries and ethnic backgrounds and languages. And it was amazing how God can draw people together under the banner of the Holy Spirit. You know, 3,000 people were saved that day. Actually, Peter stood up and began to proclaim what Joel said in Joel 2, 28 and 29. Then after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. And Peter spoke that same thing. And I want you to notice we started out saying that Pentecost shows that God keeps his promises. I just read that promise from Joel that happened thousands of years before what Peter's fixing to say in Acts 2, 16. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Peter is saying here, God is keeping his promise of Pentecost that Joel predicted. Now, Peter is saying, this is that. And what Joel said. He keeps his promises. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried through? The saints of old testify that God is faithful to do what he said he would do. The prophets proclaimed certainly that God's promises would come to pass. The writers of the New Testament proclaim that God can be trusted to keep his promises. You can read that in Hebrews 10:23. So we need to join all of those, that cloud of witnesses that's already gone ahead, and begin to proclaim that what God promised, he will bring to pass in your life. Now, as you begin to look at this, what else does Pentecost show? It shows that God's presence is with us. Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. The presence of God would no longer be confined to the holies of holies. He said to his disciples, when I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter. And he will be with you and he will be in you. You see, in the Old Testament, there was only three people that had the Spirit and upon them. That was the prophet, priest, and king. But now, all of us, we have the Spirit upon us, but we also have the Spirit within us. You know, the Holy Spirit came to be with us continually, not just at church. Not just when we feel like we need to get religious, if you'll pardon that term. Not just when we pray. He's there all the time, everywhere. And he is there with his power and his might. All we've got to do is call upon him. You know, I call upon it all the time, especially, and we all need to do this. We do not have to have a spirit of fear, because we can be protected by the power of God. The 91st Psalm. No harm shall come near me. No plague shall overtake me. That is something that we all need to give a hold of. You know, in the last days that we're living in, I mean, it's said in the Word of God that we're going to face the times that we're facing, perilous times. Go read what the Bible says. But in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, it says, "For God said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear." In the day and age we're living, everybody is fearful. There's fear everywhere. Let me tell you something. We don't need to have fear. What can people do to me? There is no fear. Don't fear. All of you are facing different fears. We all face fears. Some of you are facing different fears than I face. But we all face fears. But we need to, anytime we get in the car to go drive, we need to put the power of God around our lives. I claim the 91st Psalm all the time. Anytime I get in the car to drive, anytime I go on a trip. Cameron got in that race car Friday night. I went over there and I grabbed his hand. I grabbed a hold of that car and I said, "I surround this car with the power and the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. No harm shall come to Cameron or any of the drivers that he's driving with." We have that authority. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God inside of us. Every time your kids go out the door, surround them with the power of God. Say, "I surround them with the power of God. No harm can come to them. No danger can overtake them." Come on now. That's what we have, that authority. Why? Because of the day of Pentecost. Come on now. I don't know about you, but I done getting a little bit of feeling. Anybody feel what I feel? I feel the anointing in this place. The power of God's in this place. He's here to help us in difficult times, in the good time, in the bad time, and in the in-between times. He's with us. He's here. All you got to do is call on him. The devil will kick the door down. The Holy Spirit stands by the door waiting to be invited in. I tell the Holy Spirit all the time, "You got control. I don't have control. Come on in. You lead, you guide, you direct." See, we need to learn to depend on the Holy Spirit to direct us and to guide us in every area of life. If all of a sudden you're driving the car and you feel like you should go take a different route, Don't question it. Just do it. I've done it many times. Did anything happen? I don't know whether it would or not, but I know one thing. And the Holy Spirit brings impressions to you. Don't do that. Well, what's wrong with it? Nothing. But if you feel like you shouldn't do it, don't do it. Where did I learn that? I learned that from my dad. Growing up with him, I don't know how many times we would start to leave the house or start to go somewhere, or when we were out traveling on the road, and he would say, "We can't go yet." One time, me and my sister, my mom already in the car, and he was talking to another pastor. We had dropped by their house to see them, and he said, "Come on, let's go back in the house. We can't go yet." Well, did anything happen? Yeah, but on that time, I mean, there've been other times that I don't know about, but that whether something would happen. But we got to. He finally said, "Okay, we can go." And we got to a certain place on the highway, and there was a huge wreck, and a tanker truck had wrecked and spilled gasoline, and it exploded all over, and there was, I don't know how many cars was involved and everything else. And Dad said, "If we would have left whenever we started to, we would have been right in the middle of that." He taught me, he said, "Don't ever override that just because, oh, well, that's just my thinking." Was you thinking about it beforehand? No. It just come up to you. Then learn to realize that's the presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to help you, to guide you, to guard you, direct you. Pentecost, what else does it show? It shows us God moving by his supernatural power. Jesus spoke that the power of God that his disciples would have. Look at this. And us too. Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." In Jerusalem, that's their hometown. In Judea, that's their country. In Samaria, that's the place they didn't like. To the ends of the earth. What is that power there for? To change your life. To help you to change somebody else's life. That power is there to help meet your needs. And to take that power to a hurting generation. That power is there to enable you to come through every situation that the devil throws at you and come out on the other side with both hands up, hollering, "Hallelujah, glory to God." The day of Pentecost, when the church was born, Acts 2. Verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven of a roaring, mighty windstorm. It filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in another language as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. I saw this happen one time. It was right after that I started traveling with Dad. Lynette might remember this. We were in Phoenix, Arizona at a Full Gospel Business Men's meeting. And Dad, Brother Demas Shakarian, that was the head of the Full Gospel Business Men, he loved Dad, and him and Dad had a great relationship. But he said, "Brother Hagin, other people can teach faith and healing, but there's nobody teaches the Holy Spirit like you do." And there wasn't. In fact, we took all of his teaching and we put it into a book after he passed. And they come in and told me what they were going to do. And out of my spirit came the title, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. And if it's in the bookstore, if you want a textbook on the Holy Spirit, that, you need to get that book. It is a textbook on the Holy Spirit. But anyway, he taught on the Holy Spirit for a little bit. And then he said, and there's about 400 people in that room. And he said, "I'm going to pray and then I'm going to say, be filled with the Spirit." He did that. He put his hand out and said, "Be filled with the Spirit." I saw 400 people at one time all begin to speak in tongues just like that. That's the only time I ever seen that. And I thought to myself, this must have been what it was like in the upper room. because all 20 of them started speaking in tongues just like that. Amen. You see, the day of Pentecost changed mankind forever. It changed people. Made them the righteousnesses of God in Christ through Jesus Christ. But the power of the Holy Spirit filled them. See, it's the Holy Spirit that brings you to salvation, but it's the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings you the power. See, some people never realize that. The Holy Spirit is there when you are born again. But it's the infilling of the Holy Spirit brings that power. Acts 4:31-33, we read, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the great blessing, and great blessing was upon them all. The power of the Holy Spirit is for us to testify to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring people into the kingdom of God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit afresh. You see, Peter and John had been arrested, and they told them, don't go preach in that name anymore. They wouldn't even say the name. They just said, don't preach in that name anymore. Well, they went in there and had a prayer meeting, and when they come out of it, they went everywhere with boldness preaching. You know, I'm forever, people call a prayer meeting, and they pray about 5 minutes or 10, and then they sit in there reading the Bible. We didn't call a Bible reading session, we called prayer meeting. There's a difference between a Bible reading meeting and a prayer time. Hello. I guess I better go on. But after they were refilled with the Holy Spirit, they weren't afraid. Paul tells us in his writings, be continually filled. Some people say, be refilled. But he says, be being filled. Come on now. They were not intimidated. They boldly and fiercely proclaim Jesus Christ. And it said in the Word of God, they went into one place and they said, all those that have turned the world upside down have come here also. That needs to be said about us. That needs to be said about us. God has given the church the power to go and fulfill the Great Commission. To preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to cast out the devils, to speak in tongues, to walk in authority over the devil, lay hands on the sick and see them recover. God has given us the authority and the power to do it. Let's change our world. I'm here today to tell you that the world's problems will not be solved by natural means, although there is some things that can be done in the natural. But the tide of evil cannot be stopped with the arm of flesh. It's only when the supernatural power of God is displayed through the church. It's only the power of God that will change. What we need to do is to present to the world a powerful gospel, not a powerless gospel. Not having a form of godliness, but no power. Too many places, that's what's happening. It's time to rise up and fulfill the promises of God. Time to rise up and be full of the presence of God. It's time to rise up and be full of the power of God. If the church ever needed to believe the promises of that God promised to be in this word, it's now. If we ever needed his presence and his power, it's now. if we ever needed to stand strong in the face of every opposition, it's now. This is just a little word from the Lord. Don't look and search for answers in the natural places or wonder where you'll find help. For I've poured out my spirit upon all flesh so that you might have what you need, so that you will be my witnesses in the earth, so that you can walk free from all bondage, so that you can live the life that I have promised you, so that you can enjoy everything that I have promised me you in your word. And it comes to you through the power, through my power, which is the Holy Spirit that operates inside of you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know whether you got anything or not, but let's rise and thank God for the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, and as you're thanking God, just say, Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit. And then begin to, whatever those words are that come up, just begin to speak them. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Spirit a minute, okay? Mondrosele bankintara na masinde, shingi blin seke pondolo borsiti libeka, prande libisondolo bria sata, ele mekisa, mandolo broya sata la baka sata. Hallelujah, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, Mashana. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody been having chest pains. You hadn't told anybody about it. The Holy Spirit's touching you right now. He's healing you right now. I don't know whether you're in this crowd or you're in the crowd out there that's watching, but there's somewhere, somebody, somewhere. Hallelujah to Jesus. Right now, that back, that problem on that left side, right here in your back, it's gone in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That neck, move it around. You find out that you can move it. It's not, you don't have that whatever it is, crick or whatever it is in your neck right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The anointing's in this place. Anybody that needs anything in healing or anything, just reach up and take it right now. Healing's in this place. Say, I take my healing now. I take it now. I take it now. I take it now. Hallelujah to Jesus. Loka pasana. Yili basahana. Glory to God. I don't know about y'all, but the anointing's in this place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, thank God that we can rejoice. But in case there's one person in our midst that can't rejoice like we rejoice because they've never accepted Christ, or they know what it is to accept Christ, but they're not where they're supposed to be. Are you out there watching? Maybe the same way. I'm going to repeat a prayer. I'm going to say a prayer and you're going to repeat it after me. Do it right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son Jesus. I thank you that he came, he lived, and he died upon a cross for my salvation. But he rose again. And he's alive and well in heaven today. You said if I would believe those things in my heart and confess them with my mouth, I would be saved. I thank you now that I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're in this audience and you prayed that prayer, see one of these gentlemen in these brown shirts, the Rhema ushers, and tell them about it. If you're watching us out there, you can go to partnerservice@rhema.org and let us know about it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are we still going to have to dismiss that way? One more time? Because I wanted to stand over here, and anybody want to walk by can come by and I'll say hi to you. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to stand right over here. If you want to come by, I'm going to be here to say I love you and I'm for you. Okay, right.